I'm part
Amen.
Of the
he
faith
makes
promise,
every day. Praise
commitment.
The Lord for that.
I
we can praise him for
your missionaries.
The days that he gives,
from the nominations,
good days, bad days, he's made it.
We're selected,
he has purpose for
we're from
every
you.
Day of our life.
Take
a Bible,
turn to Ruth chapter 2.
Ruth 2 tonight.
So tonight we're
voting,
first of all,
discover
the Song family. The Song family
Ruth's
to Korea.
Handfuls of purpose.
A month.
We're going chapter by chapter, verse by verse through this book on Wednesday night services. And we come now to a chapter that's really amazing as it pictures God's grace. And God's grace is amazing. Amen.
Jones.
And we see a particular part of his grace, and it points out the handfuls of purpose. And as I've studied this passage, I can only say through studying and through experience that the Lord leaves handfuls of purpose in our life.
What being a Baptist
in times
is all
that we get
about.
Tired, we times we go through trials or
so
troubles,
that approval.
God leaves us handfuls
Baker
of purpose.
The
he leaves us gifts of grace. He gives us that which we need to enable our work and encourage our worship. We come now to the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 1, we saw that Ruth was resolving or deciding to follow the Lord. In Ruth chapter 2, Ruth is not just resolving, she is reaping at the field of labor. Listen, there's a message there as well. When you follow the Lord, there's often a field to labor in. And God wants you to be in a place of service. God wants you to serve him in this life and do something for the glory of God. And here is Ruth, back in Moab, God's wash pot, that place of filth, that place that pictured the world. Ruth had no hope. She had no purpose. She had really nothing in life. But when she went to Bethlehem, she had it all. She found a field of grace for her to glean at. She found a master for her to work for. She found something for her to do. And aren't you glad when you get saved, when you follow the Lord, God gives you something to do. You have meaning. You have purpose. You have power. There's something for you to do in this life. And here's Ruth. She's working in the field. And we look at chapter 2. Boaz calls his men close and commands them. Now, we're going to examine the entire chapter, but I want to point out to you something in verse number 16. Here's Boaz speaking. And Boaz says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. I want to draw your attention tonight to that phrase, handfuls of purpose.
All in favor, raise your right hand.
The word handfuls is not that interesting in a sense. The handfuls is the word sabeth. It means just to gather a full grip. It's a pretty important thing. You're grabbing and you're holding something so you can no longer hold it anymore. It's a full grip. That's pretty understandable. But the word purpose is something entirely unique. The word is shalal. It's the nominative or noun form of the verb in verse number 16. In fact, you'll find this Hebrew word twice in this verse. You see, it's also translated fall. So it let fall of purpose is the same word. Here's what Boaz is saying. Get a grip, get a handful of sheaves of grain and purpose,
in addition to the five
some purpose
seven here,
in her life.
Be Junior Haley.
It's almost untranslatable.
Fantastic.
Let fall that which should let fall. Purpose something that she can use for a purpose. In this entire week, and since I began studying this passage, I can't get over that thought about the handfuls of purpose. What are the handfuls of purpose? You see, Ruth's story is our story. Ruth's story is a story of redemption. And the book of Ruth reveals our own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Boaz. And Ruth here receives something from Boaz for her to do something with. It's a handful of purpose. You say, preacher, why do you keep pointing that out? Well, we'll get there. Ruth received these handfuls of purpose, and so will we. Here's just a summary statement. Handfuls of purpose is the grace of God in our life. It's the grace of God in our life enabling our work and encouraging our worship. The handfuls of purpose is when God gives us grace to work for him and worship him. It's handfuls of purpose. Every day, God gives us handfuls of purpose. Let me illustrate it like this. I heard of two Yankees who went to a southern diner one time. It's a true story, actually. They went to a southern diner and they ordered breakfast. And if you're down south and you order breakfast, certain things come with it out of tradition. And as they sat down and they ordered their breakfast, they wondered when it came, what was the white pile of mushy-looking stuff stuff beside their food. Grits. Grits come with breakfast a lot of times for free. The Yankee never had that, and they never saw grits, and so he looked at his waitress and he said, "Hey, you." There's a Yankee, of course. "Hey, you, what is this on my plate?" And the waitress said, "Well, sir, that there's grits." And the Yankee said, "Well, I didn't order it, and I won't pay for it." The waitress answered, "Sir, down in the South, you don't order it, you don't pay for it, you just get it."
Came here and helped set up our station.
That's grace.
Job as an engineer.
That's handfuls of purpose. You don't order it, you don't pay for it, you just get it. And I want us to go through the passage with that in mind.
So what we're going to
God's going to hold more than grits for you, but they're pretty good, especially when they're Thaddeus's. Amen. Or Thaddeus's,
the old Janet's, I guess. Using that amount to support.
But I want us to walk through the text. I want to see these handfuls of purpose. I want to see the grace of God revealed in our story of redemption. And really, we ought to leave here rejoicing in how good God is. And resting in the fact that God has handfuls for us and grace for us each and every day. As we look at the story in Ruth chapter 2, there's several truths that we discover about the grace of God, several characteristics, five characteristics. Now, don't get afraid. Usually I have 4 points. That doesn't mean I'm 15 minutes longer. We're going to go through this tonight briefly, and then we'll spend time in prayer. Number one, notice in the text, grace, here's something about grace. Grace sees us first and initiates a relationship with us. Grace sees us first, and initiates a relationship with us. You see, Ruth arrives at the field, and standing over the field is a man named Boaz. Boaz is the master of the field. Boaz's name means in him there is strength. What kind of man was Boaz? Now, I've heard it said and asked the question, someone said, "Oh, what kind of man was Boaz before he met Ruth?"
Really will affect it.
Ruthless,
but we
of
have
course.
Several spots open throughout
I don't know
the year,
much about that, I guess.
This year to make sure.
While I'm at it, I can point out the first court case in the Bible
really,
was Louis
one,
King.
Two, three,
Joshua
four,
judges
five,
Ruth. Okay, so six, there's, seven, there's that as nine, well. But the Bible reveals who Boaz was. Notice, first of all, he was a strong man. The text says that he was a mighty man. Now, this word and this phrase is reserved for someone who fought many battles. Maybe during this time of judges, he was such a warrior that he received land as a reward of how he fought. We're not sure much about his backstory, but we do know that he was a strong man. He was a mighty man. Verse 2 also tells us that he was a mighty man of wealth. He was not just a strong man, he was a successful man. He was someone that knew what it was to work hard and to experience God's blessing in his life. He wasn't just strong. He wasn't just successful. Verse number 4 tells us that he was a spiritual man. Notice the text. Verse 4. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered, The Lord bless thee." Here's Boaz at the beginning of his day reciting scripture. I believe the secret to your life is not trying to aim towards a success or aim towards strength, but to aim towards that which is spiritual. And God brings the success and God brings the strength. Here's a man that shows up at work and he begins his day with the word of God. He is quoting the priestly prayer and he is calling out to those who work for him blessing, and they're returning blessing right back to them. And here's such an amazing man from Scripture. He's the boss that every man wanted to work for, and he's the bachelor every woman wanted to marry. Look at verse 5. "Then Boaz," said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "whose damsel is this?" He looks out across the field and he looks out and he says, "Who is that?" Now there are a couple of interpretations.
Lord, I pray that
the first would be that he was struck by her beauty. I have a sense that may have been the case.
The front lines of battle here.
The name Ruth means beauty or personality. You could translate Ruth as glamour. But it's interesting as you study this, that the question wasn't about her beauty, but her belonging.
For one coming off the field,
he uses the term damsel.
Sister Garen,
the term means servant girl. He says, "Whose servant girl is that?" Look at verse 6. "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Did you see what this servant did? The reply suggests that this is really nobody.
Bring them back to serve you.
"Hey, Boaz, don't worry worry about her. She's a nobody. He uses Moab twice. Moab was like a curse word in this time, in a sense. If you said Moab, it would just bring shock. And he said she's a damsel of Moab, and she's out of the country of Moab. Do you have to really repeat it twice? And then he seemingly apologizes for her presence. Look at verse number 7.
Great impression, Lord.
He's explaining why she's there. He thinks Boaz is mad at him for bringing her into the field. He says, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came. And he says, look, she's continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. The idea of tarrying little in the house, meaning that she didn't rest very long. He says, she's begged to be here. And she got here, and she's working, and hey, I know you may be a little upset that there's a Moabite in the field, but she's working hard, and she's not even resting. Give me the thought here. I don't know if much as he's struck by her beauty, as much as he's moved by mercy. Notice in the text, here it is, on that understanding, verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, to translate it in, I guess, Joe Shakur translation, do you hear me now? Do you hear me? He's calling out to her. My daughter. Now, the last I've checked, the words damsel and daughter are not pickup lines, or at least effective ones. I think he's moved by mercy. I think he feels bad for her. He says, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He's moved by mercy to give grace. He calls her a damsel. He calls her a daughter. He knows that she's a Moabitish woman. He knows that she's from Moab, and he had pity upon her. Why? Matthew chapter 1 tells us a little about Boaz. You know who Boaz's mother was? Rahab the harlot from Jericho. Maybe he looked at this woman and he thought of his own mother who had come out of a backstory of wickedness and immorality, but she was saved and she had grace and she was received. I don't know what it was, but he had mercy upon her. He extended grace to her. What a tremendous picture of our salvation. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father came to the fields of earth, and he looked over and he saw us, and we were unlovely, we were unworthy, but he reached out and he saw us and he initiated a relationship with us, and he in these last days has spoken to us unto by his Son. And while we were in the field unworthy and we were just working under what the law allowed, God in his grace had mercy upon us. That's our story. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God. I love it in the Bible when it says, but God. Someone put it this way. It's when God butts in. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were worse than those from Moab, even when we were unlovely and unworthy, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That's grace. Grace sees us. Grace sees us first and initiates a relationship with us. You know, the Bible says that no man can come to the Father, but the Father draw him. Don't get nervous. That's John 6:44, but the same words used in John 12:32, and I will draw all men unto myself. God looks out into the world and he sees lost sinners and he speaks to us and he draws us. That's our salvation. That's our story revealed hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus even came. God sees. Number two, well, grace sees. Number two, grace surprises with provision and protection. Here's grace. Grace surprises. Look at verse 9. Boaz says to Ruth, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Boaz tells Ruth to stay, and he tells the other young men to leave her alone. In other words, get your paws, leave your paws off her. Let her go. She's mine in a sense. But he says, follow the women to get the best work. Follow them when they're breaking things down, and follow the men to get the best water. It's as if he understands that the ladies know where the work is and the men know where the rest is. I don't know. But he says, follow them both and get the best work and get the best water. Look at verse 10. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?
And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and have come into a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and give full reward, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. For thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Here's Ruth, and she says, why me? Anybody who has ever experienced the grace of God has to wonder, why me? God has given us grace. Common grace. Special. Listen, it's God's grace that we're even here today. Can you imagine? It's God's grace that we weren't born somewhere else. God's grace that every single thing that we have in life is a gift from God. And Ruth says, why me? Boaz's answer doesn't as much point to what she did as much as where she went. He says, you're receiving this because of where you are. You chose to leave your father. You chose to leave your mother. You chose to leave the place you were born to go be where God is. And when you're at where God is, God gives you grace. And he says, what a beautiful statement. He says, you're under his wings. He says, when you're under his wings, you're under that place of protection. God gives you the best. God gives you the blessings. And Boaz says, all I'm trying to do is be an instrument of God's grace in your life. Hey, listen, friend, we can be an instrument of grace in someone's life. Hey, you can be a Boaz. You can leave some handfuls of purpose to somebody today and tomorrow, and you can be an instrument of grace. Boaz is just saying, you're the one that came to God's presence, and you're the one that went under the wings, and so because I recognize where you went, I want to extend grace to you. Boaz is reminding Ruth why she's being blessed, and had nothing to do with her, had everything to do with where she was and under whose wings she was under. Hey, listen, friend, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we get under the wings of salvation and get under the wings of His safety, it's a place of grace. There's no other place to be. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, those that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. Aren't you glad when you go through a time of physical or financial trouble, if you get under his wings, then that doesn't mean you don't do anything. Ruth is still working in the field, but she understands where she is. She understands what she's working for and where she's working, and she's working for God. She's working in his field. She's serving him, and God gives her grace. Psalm 91, verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. She is operating according to what she's allowed to do. She's not cutting corners in the field. She's doing what God has commanded her to do. And when she's obeying God and she's following the directions in his word, God pours out his grace. That's the way it happens every single time. When you're in the place, God gives you grace. Get to the blessing. Get to the place where God pours it out. Listen, I love that song, Under His Wings. Who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Grace sees, grace surprises, and then grace serves the unworthy. Look at verse 14. Grace serves. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Here's Boaz, and he brings her to lunch, and he gives her bread. Not just bread, he gives her dipping sauce. Allow me to illustrate. When you go to Olive Garden, amen, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, Sunday afternoon in Wilson at Olive Garden is like a tabernacle afterglow. This is the way it is. When you go to Olive Garden, they give you bread, right? Where you get bread. But when you order, if you ever ordered the Alfredo and marinara sauce, anybody know what I'm talking about? Give me a witness here. You've really been blessed. That's like chips and salsa is good, but chips and queso is a whole nother level. They amen for that. And here is Ruth, and she gets the bread, but then she's got the vinegar. Hey, God gives you blessing. God gives you so much more. He daily loadeth us with benefits. He doesn't give us only what we need. He gives us our wants as well and our desires of our heart as long as they're aligned with Him. God gives us bread and God gives us dip with the bread. Amen. Here she is and she's dipping the bread and he reaches her the parched corn. Now, that doesn't mean they're at the movies eating popcorn. That just means they're here. They're having popcorn and nachos, I guess. And he's reaching for her. He's blessing her. He's serving her. And she has enough. And there's some left over. And aren't you glad when you get saved and you start to follow the Lord and you get under grace, our heavenly Boaz reaches over to us and he provides for us and he gives himself for us. He gives us everything that we need when we're hungry. He feeds us when we're thirsty. He gives us things to drink when our soul is weary and we're afraid. He gives us peace and gives us power. Is there anybody tonight that can say, I must confess I have been blessed? Here's the handfuls. Here's what leads up to the entire thing. Look at this. He sees her. He surprises her. He serves her. And here's Boaz superintending behind the scenes. Grace superintends. Here's providence. She goes back into the field. And Boaz calls his boys close and says, here's what I want you to do. I don't want her to leave the field discouraged. To enable her work, I want you to leave her handfuls of purpose. I don't want you to give up and go out. I don't want you to stop working. I want to encourage you as you work. And I want you to just leave her some handfuls. Here's the law. The law allowed a widow or a stranger to follow the reapers as they gleaned grain. If anything was dropped as they gleaned, those gleaners could follow, those widows and strangers could follow and pick it up. That was God's welfare plan. By the way, welfare in the Bible always involved work. There's no handout. There's hand-ups. There's work. God created us to work. Amen. For Abel. That's another message. Here they were, and they were following, and God did want to give something extra. When she starts to get tired, he says, when she's about to quit, all of a sudden, as she's stepping along the path, and she's following the law, as she's working, as she's laboring, all of a sudden, she finds a handful in front of her. It's that handful that encourages her. It's that handful that enables her to keep on working, keep on gleaning. She thinks it's all her, but it's all him. That's grace. Aren't you glad that our God in heaven drops handfuls for us? Think about this week. It may have been an answered prayer. It may have been a job opportunity. It may have been a gift that just came out of nowhere. It may have been some special connection or something that happened or some opportunity. That's not you. That's God orchestrating behind the scenes, superintending handfuls of purpose in your life. Hey, this is the encouragement tonight. He has handfuls for you. Keep on going. Keep on following God. Keep on walking down the path. Keep on gleaning and go on and go on because there's a handful waiting for you. If you're just imagine tonight, God pulling back the curtain of your life and in the field in front of you. If he were just to allow you to see what's in front. I guess as a kid I would play those video games. You know those little checkpoints and those collection things that are there and you get them and everybody under 40 understands that. But you know, it's there and they're just little things in front. You're going to keep going. That's the point here. Think about it for a second. In front of you, in your path, you don't know it's there, but it's already there. God's placed it there. He's just waiting for you to arrive. Gifts, blessings, favor. If you were to see that for just a moment, you wouldn't worry ever again. Because God's already placed everything in front of you. Everything you need, all of your desires. All you have to do is just walk. Keep on working and receive what God has placed in the path of your life. You can get up every day and live with excitement and expectancy, knowing that at any moment as you're walking across the path of life, there's a handful that God, there's a pile of grits that God has just poured out in front of you for you to receive. Every time you fail, every time we fall, every time our finances or our physical life fails us and we try to find out what we need, God's in time, on time, every time. He drops handfuls of purpose, armfuls of purpose, truckfuls of purpose. That's grace. See, where's that found in the New Testament? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Here's what that verse is saying. God will give you grace to live today. God will give you grace to live tomorrow. As you're walking, as you're working for Him, He will give you exactly what you need when you need it to enable your work for Him. That's what God does. It's grace. And finally, grace shares with others. She goes home to Naomi, and Naomi receives the grace that Ruth has worked for and Boaz has so generously given, and that's grace, giving what God has given to us. Here's Naomi, and something happens to Naomi. Remember last Wednesday, what was she doing? She was bitter. For the first time in 10 years, Naomi begins to bless the Lord. That's what grace does in your life. It produces praise. It produces blessing. But I want you to get this. Here's the whole point tonight. Here's Ruth. Ruth and Naomi are here. They came at the start of the barley harvest, and she worked through the end of the wheat harvest. Look at verse 23. And she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean under the field of the barley harvest, end of the wheat harvest, to dwell, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. She had handfuls of purpose. Now notice one thing tonight. Buckle in on this. We believe in the verbal, that's the words, plenary, that's the full meaning of the words, inspiration and preservation of Scripture. That means it's here and ain't going nowhere. Amen. If you look at the preposition, the phrase here, it's not handfuls on purpose. It's handfuls of purpose. Look back at the verse. Handfuls of purpose. She arrives at the start of the barley harvest. She stays working to the end of the wheat harvest. There's a purpose. The purpose was praise. Chapter 1, verse 22 says they showed up at the beginning of the barley harvest. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10 and verse 11, something would happen on the start of that day. The reaper would go and would come back with a first handful. And that first handful was called the handful of purpose. And that purpose was to present it to the priest as a wave offering to the Lord. And as the priest would take that first handful, they would bring it before the Lord and they would wave it. It was called the wave offering. They would do the wave offering at the start of the barley harvest, and then at the end of the wheat harvest, they would take two handfuls, and they would bake it into bread and wave both before the Lord. Passover and Pentecost. Stick with me. It's a Wednesday night study. Here's why it's a handful of purpose. Boaz said, purpose for her, something for her to purpose. Boaz, when Boaz said, leave her a handful of purpose, he was saying, leave her something to bless God with. Leave her something to praise God for. Leave her something to worship with. Because when Ruth received her handful of purpose, when she had her handful, when she had her sheaf, when she had her wave offering, when she had, it was for praise, it was for worship, and Boaz told the reapers, rebuke her not. When she gets that first handful and she begins to praise and she begins to worship, let her go! Let her go! Hey, we know where she came out of. We know where she's been. She's worshiping, she's praising, and she's taking that sheaf and she's saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every once in a while, our kinsman redeemer will leave us a handful of extra blessing. I don't know what it is. It may be, you may come across it. You may go and receive it. You may be experiencing it in your life. It's just a special gift. It's just a special blessing. It's all of grace. It's not of you. There's a purpose. It's there in your hand. It's for you to lift up your hands and wave your sheaf and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Your children may be a handful, but they're a handful of purpose. Your work may be a handful, but it's a handful of purpose. Your labor, the blessings we have each and every day are handfuls of purpose to praise and wave before the Lord. How many have handfuls of purpose about air conditioning and water blessings? When our power went out, you don't realize what you miss until it's gone.
When it came on, we're like, oh, thank you, Lord. So glad we didn't live a couple hundred years ago. Handfuls of purpose. We take so many things for granted. There are blessings along our path to praise Him with. Hey, listen, it's always sheaf waving time. It's always handful waving time. It's praising God time. And we just need to wave it before the Lord. What has He brought in your life today as a handful of purpose? He'll do it. He daily loadeth us with benefits. I hesitated sharing this because in no way am I bragging at all about myself, at all. 5 years ago for first homecoming, I remembered what the Lord did for that first sacrifice Sunday. And as that we put forth an amount, we prayed about the building of this property, and praise the Lord, He provided. We're debt-free. God's blessed for this facility. This is a handful. I know the parking lot sometimes looks like a handful, but it's a handful of purpose. Amen? Amen. Well, we're so thankful what God's done. But I remember we put Sacrifice Sunday out there, and I said, just pray about the amount. Remember that first Sacrifice Sunday 5 years ago? Pray about the amount the Lord would have you give. One of the greatest blessings all week the Lord reminded me of was the story of the lady raised her hand under the tent. And I won't say who she was, but she raised her hand, and she said, I was praying about the amount God wanted me to give. And this lady by no means is wealthy. That's usually with the folks that give the most, you know? Once God's blessed. And she said, you know, I was praying about an amount. I went to my closet. I opened the closet. And in the old shoebox was a $100 bill. And she said, I've been praying about that. And God laid out the $100 bill for me to give. Amen. Shouting ground in time in heaven. Amen. I'll tell you, that was awesome. We don't announce what we give around here. But that was the only time we did. But that was awesome. I prayed this past week, and I said, Lord, that was really cool that happened 5 years ago. I said, Lord, would you do that again for me? In just a moment, we're going to take an offering. And I prayed about an amount, and I went to the mailbox last night. And in the mailbox was a letter. In the letter was the exact amount that I prayed for. I may have looked like a nut job by the Pennington Place, when I got that bill, I started waving it before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is yours, Lord. What are your handfuls of purpose? What are they? What has God given you by grace is for you to present before Him and say, God, it's yours. I thank you for it. God, thank you for your blessings. I like this old gospel song. I'll just read it to you. Looking o'er the field, He saw her. As she gathered scattered grain, just a Moabitess woman seeking solace in her pain. Seeing more than just a widow, Boaz gave command so kind, let fall handfuls of purpose till I make this stranger mine. Just a poor and starving sinner, I gleaned all the world could hold, grasping here and there a morsel, I sought in vain to fill my soul. But my kinsman redeemer loved this stranger in the field. He dropped handfuls of gospel glory till His purpose was revealed. Handfuls of purpose caught in fields of grace. Handfuls of purpose brought me to His sweet embrace. When I could not find fulfillment, doomed forever to be lost, handfuls of purpose brought this seeker to the cross. Let's all stand tonight as we bow our heads and close our eyes. I encourage the pianist to come.